Welcome to Expand Your World with Pastor David Ogwili.
I don't know why every year I keep saying that, because anybody that helps a man of God, anybody that helps a pastor has helped thousands and millions of people. I know what God has used you to do for me and for the Dominion City family. When we run into hitches, when we hit some hard places, I will send for him. Because I have understood, God gave us these things in parts. Nobody has the complete thing. Of course, he is very wise in giving it to us in part. Because anybody that has the complete thing, you become God. So we prophesy in part, we know in part, if there is any testimony he gives you, all those testimonies is part of it. Just like prof is part of it. Just like Daddy Wampa is very, very at the head of it. Daddy Wampa last year alone made out time, took us through 1 year of consistent training. I moved from the city where I used to live. I moved to Abuja where he lived. And 1 year, 1 year, 1 year. When the program concluded, I got born again. Again. So, none of us can come at any time and think we are sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the new covenant. Is this our contribution? The body is contributing to each other. The only difference is those who benefit must have one attitude called meekness. That's what makes us to benefit from one another. If somebody is not benefiting, he needs to check that department. That's all. Because God has blessed the body. And I don't know whether I'm the carpenter or medicine man. I don't know whether I'm the electrician, but I'm one of them, I'm very sure. But that one cannot make the building. It's when the others come and do their work that you have the complete building. The toilet is not a building. It's just the toilet. Maybe I'm the plumber. And even when you say, I'm plumber, I'm electrician, you are not the only plumber. God has a replacement for all of us. So he helps me, he helps all of us. You know, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us again this year. Thank you for the things you have in your heart for the church in Africa, the church in Nigeria, for us that are gathered here. These are crucial moments in your divine plan and in your purpose for the church, starting with us here in Nigeria. Lord, breathe life into your word this afternoon or evening. Quicken all of us by the unfolding of truth and by the power of your spirit. Help us to know how to go about these things. Let your name be glorified again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And of course, I salute the Father of National Transformation, the one and only Professor Anibog. I thank you, sir. You know, if anybody sees me and wants to thank God for any little contribution we make, thank him. Thank Barris. Thank all the people who did the work. The title I'm giving is Dominion Mandate. Are you permitting me to come down? Okay, I can come down. Okay, I thought, yeah, beautiful. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Because I want to do an illustrative sermon. My assignment is a Dominion Mandate, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, and what I want to address on that is a topic I can discuss for now to this time next year, every day, and not finish. But that's one of the areas where God has given me a lot of insight. The subject I want to discuss under it is human capital development in the church, in the kingdom. So I need three gentlemen, just men, not women, young men, because you're going to start with me throughout the sermon. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, three men. Okay, watch now. God, in creating man, defined his purpose for making man. His mission statement was clearly written here, made clear. And I want to say this now, both for us who are ministers and for any other person that you reach. When you meet anybody telling you, I'm trying to find out the purpose of God for my life, tell him to go and read Genesis 1 to 26 to 28. It's written. I don't know any manufacturer that will make a product and not send it clear in the manual what the product is meant to do. How do we think that God created man and didn't define his mission for creating it? Man's purpose is what is defined here in those three verses. 26, 27, 28. Genesis 1, 26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. That is the reason God made you. You are male, you are female. That's the reason he made you. Stop looking for your purpose. That's your purpose. He specified three things. Image, likeness, and dominion. These are the three stages of human capital development. I'm going to show us some things now. So you see what we are doing that is giving, creating the result. I'm going to show it to you in a practical way. But just before I do that, what I have just said is that purpose had two sides. The revealed will of God and the unrevealed will of God, which you are to find out and discover. The revealed will of God is 75%. The unrevealed will of God is 25%. Two-third of what you need to reach your destination has been revealed. And that's what is here. I lived in an estate in Lagos. When we moved there, we got a property. To develop the property, we wanted to build like they do in mainland. And they said, no, you can't. You can't just build up the whole space. You're only allowed to develop 65% of the space. The other 65% is set back for parking, set back for green areas, set back for flowers. That's how God made your purpose. And every year when you get up, for example, at the beginning of the year and you want to plan your life, always have this principle in mind. When I started learning planning, for example, I will come and fill up every day, every time, every week, everything. Nothing is left. Somebody calls me. Okay, let's assume now I finished planning 2019. You call me. You need to be with me in Tanzania. I'll tell you, no, the calendar is full. And the Lord said, that's not how you are supposed to live your life. You're supposed to plan 70-75% and leave the other place for what they call in planning contingencies. But that's not contingencies in divine plan. What it means, you leave it for what about when God speaks? What about when God says, drop everything, go for that assignment? What about when God, you don't plan and plan God out. Then the lordship of Jesus now means nothing. Because he's Lord over all things to the church, head over all things to the believer. So he has authority to say, this U.S. council this year, if you take off on that air and you can't land, is it not him that you start calling? He has the right. He has the right to turn around my meeting. He has the right to turn this sermon and say, you are not preaching it. Cancel it. I want you to talk about this. When you plan programs, leave room. Because that's why we don't have a move of God. If we are men of prayer, then we must also be men of sensitivity. Men who hear from God. And if you believe that God speaks, leave room. If you can plan, you have a plan and action steps to actualize, just 70 to 75%, you will have A plus in life. You need planning to reach your destination. But you need divine guidance and direction also. So see how God has planned our purpose. The revealed will of God is 75%. It's only 25 in hand left for you to come to him and find out. That 25 that he left is the one that separates you from your brother. Did you notice that in designing you and this man, both of you are males, all the equipments are in the same place? Do you notice that in designing women, God designed all the equipments are in the same place? Why? The same reason why he created this woman is why he created the other woman is why he created. Women have one general calling. And that makes 75%. For example, if a woman chooses to marry, don't go and ask God why I'm here. Read his word and find that you are called to be a helpmate to that man. It's not a prayer point. It's an instruction and a design of the manufacturer. Fit into that plan and start fulfilling it. You're also called to be his companion. They said he was alone, and then they made him a helpmate. Before becoming his helpmate, the first reason is the fact that he was alone. That's why the problem God saw for making him a companion. So the first calling is not even to be his. The first calling is to be his companion. You never stop being his girlfriend. He shouldn't have you and be looking for another. The dog is not the man's best friend. That's what I hear them say abroad. The man's wife is his best friend. You don't need to pray about why am I here. Read the manual, you will see your assignment and your purpose and your role. It doesn't matter what anybody is teaching in modern time. Stay with the manufacturer's prescription. When he said, husband, love your wife, it is the number one need of every woman, affection. Born again woman, first lady woman, mother of nation woman. Oh, meanwhile, I salute you, Mama Africa, you know. Normally when I greet her, I say my two hands are up. Have you seen our Yoruba alaye when they greet? I'm alaye when it comes to this. Go, first lady of church, first lady of countries, first lady, number one need, affection. He's manufacturer. He knew what he made. It's like the way the message said, put oil in the tank, put fuel in this. They know what they made. If you don't want the engine to knock, if you want it to function, the number one gasoline a woman consumes is affection. If you put it in her tank, she will function. If you remove it, she will start malfunctioning. Don't go and start disturbing God about specific purpose when you have not listened to the general purpose. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The part you are told to develop, 75%. When I got the property, I wanted to build. I said, no. This is the measurement. If you cross anywhere here, we'll come and bring down the building. If you cross beyond here, this is specification, the whole estate. We are not being special. It's not about you. It's the law in the estate. That's how the law of purpose is. Paul was writing about it. He said, when our mind is renewed, when we are taught the word of God and we understand, we'll be able to discern what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Then the specific purpose, where the differentiating factor is, why you can have two men, you are both men, but now there is a difference, is the part you need to ask the Holy Spirit. It's the part you go in prayer, and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will find it. The general part is revealed in the manual. That's why you can have two pastors. They are both pastors, but they have different operations. So the same way there are diversities of gifts, there are differences of operations. There are even differences of divine administrations. So back to God's original purpose for making man. Of course, the number one reason why God made you is so that you can be a reflection of his image. Let us make man in our image. Today, we have a new way we say it. His number one goal for every believer is that they will be like Christ. So as we develop human capital development, you need to know at every stage what you are producing. If you don't know what the output is, you will come on. You don't start with training. You need to know what the end goal will be. You start building from the end. You need to set the end before the beginning. When you know what the final product will be, You can now go back and design what kind of curriculum and what kind of processes will get us here. The number one thing I'm to do with my children, the number one thing I'm to do with the church, the number one thing I'm to do with pastors is to shape Christ's inner image in them, Christ's nature. When God said, make man in our image, what did he, does he have on his mind? I'll dwell a little on that. He's talking about the divine nature. He's not talking about physically looking like God. It's not the physical look. It's God's moral nature. God is holy. God is love. God is just. All of those attributes that define God's character, shape it in this man. Secondary development. So when you finish, you have laid foundation. Foundation of the building is image. Construction is likeness. Likeness is, of course, a divine functionality. Do you know what God wants us to build here? The wisdom of God into the person. Being good and morally sound is not enough. After you shape the heart is the subject, is the foundation. God wants you to shape the mind, shape the soul. And then when you do that, on those two is the tertiary education and development, and the final state will rest, which is the dominion mandates. God wants people that will rule, the different spheres of life. But that man on whom God will put governments, on whom he will put stewardship, dominion is stewardship. Dominion is leadership. That shows that leadership is stewardship. That's what he said. Have dominion over the earth. God did not give man ownership of the earth. He gave him stewardship of it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what God did was to bring a bank manager. A bank manager does not own a bank. He manages it on behalf of the trustees or the shareholders. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? Adam does not own the earth. How do you know? Because when he abused his stewardship, he was kicked out of the garden. Man lost dominion. Adam did not own it. He wasn't given ownership. He was given stewardship. Man, a governor does not own the state. He was elected to steward it for a period of time. Leadership is stewardship. And if it's stewardship, it means that you are given certain things. Number one, you are given a responsibility. For the purpose of that responsibility, carrying it out, you are given authority. So there is responsibility here. There is authority. God is not the type that will delegate and keep authority back. He delegates, he gives authority. But then, there will be accountability. That's why it's stewardship. A day is coming to give account for what you did. And I can tell you something I have learned. I used to think everything will wait till the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord said, no, there are periodic seasons when God comes to check what he has put in your hands and he assesses it. And that's where he decides whether to promote you or to demote you. According to the laws of stewardship revealed in the scripture, at least 12 major ones are revealed. One of them said, there are times where he takes talent from this one that buried it or that is not using it and gives it to somebody that is using it. I have seen these things happen over and over again, even in ministry. One faithful pastor is behind walking, being faithful, doing. One guy has capacity to gather crowd, but he's not faithful. He's abusing his stewardship. Maybe playing around with girls or playing around with some other things that had boundary. And guess what? For a season, he looks like he's getting away. Then one day, the owner of the vineyard comes. And all of a sudden, he shifts the flock to a faithful shepherd who will look after them. While Saul was in office, David was in training at the gym, building his muscle at the backside of the desert, killing lions and bear. And Saul thought, I'm Oga. But leadership is stewardship. Right now, I want to let you guys know, all over the continent of Africa, shifts, major shifts, quantum shift is taking place. Like Debo Somaya, a terror. Like an expressway. It has two directions. There are some rich who are heading to poverty. There are some people in power. 2 years from now, their name will stink in history. There are some people now, people are celebrating, who are about to disappear. At the same time, the other side of the express, there are some people in poverty heading to wealth. There are some people that are preparing, being faithful in stewardship, and God is going to about to bring them to limelight. There are some people who have been busy building, paying the price. God is about to honor and enthrone. We are in a very critical season. Don't follow men for crowd. Don't follow men for the jeep or size of cathedral. Follow a man because he knows the shepherd, and follow him because he has gravity, has integrity, has morality. He has the image. He has the foundation in him. So here is leadership. Here is dominion. Here is governance. What is God looking for here? Spiritual and moral capacity built inside people. Here is working at the innermost foundation that a man needs for his future, his human spirit, the heart. And I said two things: spiritual and moral capacity. So the church, so that we get people, we teach them how to pray, how to prophesy, how to take prophetic dominion, how to pull down altars. We have given them the spiritual skills. What about the moral side? What about humility? What about integrity? What about compassion? The man does not yet have his proper foundation till he has the two. Here, it is intellectual and professional competences. It's not just developing the head. You give the man education. It is also giving him, after general education or whatever, giving him industry-specific education. What do we mean by professional competences? Whatever his calling is, he's going to be a doctor, he's going to be a pastor, he's going to be, he needs to also have specialized knowledge. He needs general knowledge, but he also needs specialized knowledge. He needs to be a champion in something. Then he needs general knowledge, then you have trained him, educated him well. What it means is that education to get certificate is not enough. Education to speak good grammar is not enough. What is your field? Have you mastered your craft? Like Daniel, to become 10 times better than all these children of Babylon and all these astrologers and magicians. This is what the church needs to produce now. This is what we need to produce at the family level. We need to, you know, I draw this every year, every semester, every time the academic year, and me and my children will sit down again and start looking at, because we're assessing where everybody is. They bring me very good results, they're doing well. I say, good, this is here, you're doing well here. But even here, there are two sides. I say, on one side, you're doing well. Left brain education is what you bring me when you bring these certificates. You have to have deployable skills, on-the-job skills. You don't become a pilot by reading books only. Somebody who didn't read the textbook can fly that aircraft. So we have intellectual and professional competences. Because when you give them that balance, purpose-driven education, education that equips you to deliver value, to solve problems, to impact your world, you build somebody who does not need a job. He might just need to go and work just to gain experience for a while. Somebody who will go and create jobs. Somebody who will go and change this world. Actually, when we train our young people, we tell them, when you go working and they're paying you, thank them for the payment too, because that is internship and they're paying you for learning. Since you want to start a business, when you get in there, they employ you, study every. Don't just sit down like in a bank and a cashier and be counting money. Befriend people in HR. Befriend those in management. Befriend those in marketing. Know everything that makes the whole bank work, because God wants to give you one here. God wants to move you to, it's either you own the system or you can at least help those that own to run it. At this level is where economic and political competences come in. At this level is economic, social, and political competences. The whole thing here is about how to influence, how to impact your world, how to rule, how to govern, how to manage, and how to lead. Okay, that brings me to a statement. So I can focus on one of these. If I get chance, I can build level 2 for you. Let me say something. When you train a good doctor, all you have produced is a technician, medical technician. He's not yet going to have dominion. That's why doctors are hungry, are hustling. When you train a good lawyer, all you have produced is a legal technician. That doctor is like the mechanic on the road, though. The difference is that he has education. He can explain what he's doing. He's like the mechanic. Sometimes I've watched some operation. You see them welding. You see smoke. Somebody's body. It's the same thing the welder is doing by the roadside. When they cut, blood is coming. There are some things they do there. You see smoke. Flesh will smell. And they've gone that thing. When they finish, they need to join back. They open it and those who do put metal. Bone is broken. They put metal inside. Hold the two bones. Sometimes they put bolts, real iron, bolt people's legs and sew it up. It's after 2 years, come back. We'll check if he has healed, we'll remove it. Some people carry their own for life. When they pass airport, the thing beeps. Any security place they pass, it beeps. The bone is inside, it's in the hip, it's in the leg. But it's a doctor that did that, it's not a welder. That's like the welder is a technician, the doctor is a technician. What you give him here is called technical skills. A good preacher, all you gave him is ministry. He's just a ministry technician. That's not where dominion is. You can do the average performance that way. When I become a good preacher, like for example, let's assume some manifesting gifts of this, we can heal the sick. You're just a healing technician. You just got a spiritual technical skill. See how they are looking at me. See, it is given to you as gifts of the Spirit. But by gaining knowledge of how he operates and all that, you move it from gift to skill. He moved from spiritual gift to spiritual skill. When it comes to healing ministry, what I operate now is not just spiritual gift, it's spiritual skills. Over time, I have understood the dynamics. I know what it is that you press. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. People who through use, who through practice, have their senses exercised. There is a way level you gain knowledge and practice that. You go beyond knowledge and go beyond understanding. You move to the level of mastery or skill. You can go beyond the level of skill and you can go get to the point of mastery. But here's the problem. When you train a man and you stop in here, what you've given him, if you train him well, because some people don't even have the skills. They just have intellectual. There are some pastors who talk about what they don't know. They talk about giving. Do you give? No. So, you're teaching other people tithe, you don't tithe. You're teaching other people giving, you're not a giver. You're telling people, anybody can come and read any book and come and talk about church growth. Have you grown one? Anybody can come and talk about church plant. Have you planted church? Are you a practitioner of that knowledge? Because that's what separates the men from the boys. There is a long gap between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is information. Understanding is comprehension. But wisdom is application. Knowledge comes to hearers. Wisdom only comes to doers. There are areas you can preach better than me. I'm not a good preacher. But when it comes to doing, that man that does and produces the result knows that more than you. It doesn't matter what theory or book you're quoting. You just have head knowledge. That's why I pick that mechanic that's repairing cars and now take him to the classroom and explain to him the theory of what he's doing. You create somebody who can have, can operate at another level of excellence. Take that one that you have taught theory. Take him somewhere where he can be exposed to the practicals. You create somebody who has graduated. It's not the certificate they gave you that is graduation. It's the ability to bring this side, two sides together. Well, here is the issue now. When we get people here, and there are good doctors, there are good lawyers, there are good pastors, good preachers. He does healing, he's good. She does deliverance, she's good. You have only created a technician. It might be medical or spiritual or whatever type. What now gives dominion is a new set of skills different from job skills. As a matter of fact, let me even make it very clear. In any organization where you work, in ministry, it doesn't matter where it is. Hear what I'm about to say now. When you get into low-level management, because there are at least three levels in leadership and management, when you get into, there are even level five, you know, when you get into the beginning stage of leadership or management or whatever it is, you work in a bank and all that, they still need you to know how to do the job. But to move beyond that entry level, they do need technical skill. It's not technical skill that you need. The people who sit at the board, the people who sit at the top and run the show, the Bill Gates, are not the people who know how to sell micro stuff now or how to manufacture it. They have new set of skills. What happens here is the ability to get the job done through others. Leadership is not doing it. It's the ability to get a goal or a dream or a job or a task accomplished through other people. So the skills that actually give you dominion are things like leadership skills, people skills, management skills, emotional intelligence skills, communication skills, the skills that zero in the ability to lead, to influence, to move human beings and get them towards pursuing a worthy goal. Let me say it. At the Gedeon Sobaya, Lord help me. Okay. For example, leadership Part of the definition of leadership, part of it they say, is the ability to influence people to accomplish, you know, a worthy goal, a unified goal, a corporate goal, or whatever. Ability to influence people. But here is this definition of leadership. Is the ability to take a personal vision and transfer it to other people to the point that it becomes their vision and they now run after it as if they were the original possessor of that vision. I want you to see what creates dominion. A man probably heard something from God. God told him to do something. But he succeeded in transferring it to the people to the point that each of the people will have vision ownership. And now that they have vision ownership, they run after that vision. And some of them are more committed to it now than the original man that brought it. And they do it as their vision. Then you have learned leadership. You know what happens to that original man? He can now stand by the side, coordinate, guide the flow. The people will be running without you begging them anymore. Hello, are you guys still here? Okay. The Lord said to my Lord, this is here now. Sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies the footstool. Jesus, you only preached for 3 years. You have gone home to go and sit down. Why will you sit down? You have not reached Africa. You only preach in Israel. What about the Middle East? What about America? What about Russia? That Psalm 110 said, when you sit down, God has a plan. And the plan is, the Lord will send forth the rod of your strength out of what? Zion. So what he's saying, when Jesus sat down, the church stood up. Zion stood up. How did Jesus do it? So that he won't have to be coming here. He would have come to earth many times if he didn't do a good job. He took the vision, the Great Commission, a global vision, and cast it so clearly. It's in the book, written 5 different times. Every gospel has it. The Acts of Apostles has it. He took that vision and cast it for his disciples. If you don't know what he was doing when he rose from the dead, he spent another 40 days again with them. He didn't give them anointing during that 40 days. He told them to wait, that he will get it later. He didn't give them Holy Spirit. What was he doing? Go and read. He was casting the vision of the kingdom of God. So when he impregnated those 500 men, it's very clear to me that about 120 got it. Because how you know that you have succeeded in transferring it is that you cannot step aside. The people will be running with or without you. They don't need external motivation anymore. They will be running with it. You see, the skills required here now is different from the skill of trying to do the job. Choir didn't sing, well, you go and take over. No. The choir director at the beginning might know how to sing. His job is not to know how to sing. His job is to know how to find talents, grow talents, and deploy talents. When you are raising a group of leaders and they make mistakes, they mess up the thing. Don't take over it. If you take over it, your skill is only a technician. Go back and show them how. And encourage them again. Tell them they can make it. I believe in you. And when you finish, step aside and monitor. The other things the leader does, you monitor, you supervise, you get feedback. And when you get feedback, you reward performance. Because if you don't reward performance, mediocrity will fill everywhere. Like in Nigeria, pursuing corruption is not enough. We have to reward integrity. If we start rewarding integrity, more people will shift from corruption too. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That's why Jesus, when he finished casting the vision, did you notice what he did? He put rewards. Those that win souls shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. He that winneth soul is wise. On that day when the Lord sits, there will be soul winner's crown. He went to certain important things he wants and put crowns on them. Put major rewards on them. And when I read it, he hasn't given me money yet. When last, Pastor Victor, did Jesus come here to raise money for you? How much did he give you for this conference? No, you say he gives you in the spirit. What happened is that once you get impregnated with God's vision, you will raise the money. You will travel. You will run. You will organize programs. You will look for people. When you succeed in casting the vision that the people own it, the problem with leaders is they own the vision. They don't want to let go. The same stinginess in giving, we carry it to vision. My vision, my vision, my assignment, my purpose. Your calling will never materialize until he leaves you and move from personal vision to corporate vision. If you want to see money, people will bring their money and die for this thing. Let go of it. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it will remain alone. You will run till you get too much gray hair and kill yourself. But let me give you a secret. Of the different skills that you need here to exercise dominion, one of the most critical, and as somebody that trains leaders all the time and has built at least 7 different leadership programs, this is where I have one of my biggest problems. One of them is cultural skill that has to do with character, like integrity, the skills that make people you worthy to be followed, worthy to be emulated, because you have to be an example of what you're talking about. If you want people to give. Don't just teach them. Teach them, but do it. You know, like children. Children do what the parents do, not what you said to them. Teach your children to pray. And in the morning, they wait to see mommy and dad praying. You're not praying. You're wasting your time. But if they see you model what you teach, it will enter. So that is called cultural skill. Cultural skill has to do with core values that you live, like integrity and a lot of. If you live, die, stand for your values, live it, the people you are raising will follow. But one of the greatest skills, the reason I went back here, is to make a major point now. One of the greatest skills required here, if we want to raise people that will have dominion, is conceptual skills. What is that? The ability to capture a vision, to crystallize it, and to cast it for others. The ability to dream. The ability to imagine. The ability to see a preferred future. Vision is a picture of a preferred future. A future that is better than where we are now. The ability to see it and then cast it for people. Paint it clearly that you steer people to their innermost being. But I just finished a project in the north. We had over 3,000 northern missionaries and pastors from different communities. We kept them in one place for about 3 days. We incubated them. Now let me tell you a secret. I went to the north to go and help, part of the way to deal with what is going on, to strengthen the church in the north. But the nitty-gritty, there were some strategies on the ground that was a problem for me. And then I met this Baptist pastor. He's been looking for me. And he came to invite me to come and preach in his church. But while I was sharing with him, he's in the north. My burden for the north and what I came to do for the pastors, he just sat me down in 15 minutes, casted a vision. For example, he casted a vision of the IDP. I came with food to Plateau, to Benue, to give IDP. He said, no. People are doing that. He said, a lot of these children came from Christian homes that have, whose parents are dead. we have a major problem waiting for us in the future. They are in the streets. They are not going to school. They are growing angry and bitter. A couple of them will join Islam. Some will become armed robbers. Some are becoming prostitutes. And they said their parents were Christians and they were raised in Christian homes. They killed their parents. They are left without. He said one of the biggest things you can do is to build school for the IDP camps. And then he said, you are trying to help and you are bringing millions. You will throw your money and waste it. Food is not, has not solved a man's problem. It has just solved a temporal problem. He said, people are giving them food. Create food though, at the initial part, small, small. But that's not where you should throw the money. Give the northern youths this education. All of a sudden happened, we've been praying, light turned on. All of a sudden, we went to approach a governor and cast the same vision. Somebody cast the vision. Now, he has gone back to his church. I'm now the one running. He has gone back. Oh, he has not done it. He's been in him. He said he has known this for years, but he didn't know how to go about it. Now, he has impregnated me. And I took off. I met my friend governor. He has provided land. So I said, okay, we in our global mission network will build a school here. But how many kids can that one cater for? So I got another vision. I'm going to go to pastors that are my friends within our networks. To a lot of pastors that have schools in the south here. Come and take some. Put in your school. Don't charge them. Charge the normal children in the south. Get 10%. Give it back. Give free education to these ones from the north. Who have no parents. And they are formed. And then I'm going to take it to the Apostolic Council. These big churches that have schools and are making millions, let them create 20% for scholarship for those on the north. Let's retrain the next generation. Do you know what happened? I took it and I went to a bigger body where we have some powerful politicians, Christian politicians, and they were talking about security and all that. I say, yes, there's also another security problem. These youths that are rising, and I caught a group of people there again. Now, the man that cast the vision has gone to his church. Until now, I have not succeeded in getting him to put money. I'm already spending millions running after something that I did not start. If you want to clap, clap. Or I'm showing you a secret now. Anybody that succeeded in impregnating another man with a vision or a dream or an idea has influenced. You have exercised leadership. If you want to know what leadership is, not pushing people and flogging them up and down. No. I sat down with Prof, I think in 2007. I came to Ghana and he was speaking. You know, Ghana, 50th Independence, Africa. I came there, you called me, I flew down. After the conference, the next time we met, it was Lagos Airport, this airport. While we were waiting for flight, we had close to an hour or more. And we were talking about this transformation. And then he started talking about the Nigerian youth and all that. I have been a person for the youth. That's what I've done all my life. For secondary school, university. This is where my... But he opened another dimension. And when we finished, everybody took off and flew away. But by September of that same year, I had launched National Youth Movement. Next thing, he was with me in the International Conference Center speaking for the opening launch. Whole place jammed with about 6,000, 7,000 youths drawn from different parts of Nigeria. By the second year, the whole of Igu Square in Abuja is filled to the brim. And he was speaking with me. But he spoke to me in the airport and showed me another dimension to youth ministry and finished and went. He has not spent one kobo. But he has exercised leadership. Leadership is not pushing people like you're pushing a packed car. Leadership is putting an engine inside them, and that engine is vision. Activate their imagination. Activate their ability to see. Give them foresight. Give them a new way of looking at the same problem. Give them a picture of a preferred future. And usually at the visionary stage, don't talk about the hardship. Don't talk about the price. Mama Africa, do you know why women keep going back to get pregnant a second time? Because God put incentive in childbirth. The sweet part. Love is sweet and painful. It has two sides. The sweet part is sex. That's why you see all these young people. That's the one they want. But they don't know that right after that responsibility will start. Even if the boy does not want to be responsible, make sure you train the girls. Tell him when you finish, who will be pregnant? The boy, you are the one. His stomach will not swell. It's your own that will swell. Tell her when you finish, you will go. Who is going to be drop out of school because you have a baby? He will be there and he will graduate. Tell her whose heart will be broken. He will move on, find another girl. You see, there is incentive. Because if there is no incentive, after one childbirth, no woman will need a man. You know, they make us believe that men are the ones that like sex more than women. It's not true. What do you think is so powerful that makes these women come back after screaming, some are cursing their husband in the maternity? They like it. I know we're in a holy ground, so you don't want me to talk. I hope this is adult church. I can be bold and tell you something. Some things you pretend that you don't want to hear. We have to talk about it. But with clean words and sound words. They go back. Just a few weeks, few months, they have forgotten. Next thing. Mama boom boy. And then the responsibility part starts, the painful part. Then out. She forgets again. So that's what you do when you are doing visionary. Don't talk about the price, the hardship. They will have the capacity to go through that if they catch the sweet part first. What you tell them is, come, I'm taking you from Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't tell them there's wilderness, you're going to meet giants, you're going to might go hungry sometimes. You are not a good visionary person. You don't have the skills. Cast the vision of a promised land. Don't talk about giants in it. When they get near enough, they will graduate to understanding the giant part. Primary school is not where you teach people algebra and quadratic equation. Just take them 1, 2, 1 times 1, 1, 1 times 2, 2. Let them be singing A, B, C, D. They think that is it. This is education. Just be coming. Be coming. Be coming. Tell them story about tortoise, how tortoise fell from sky. This one. Be coming. You think this is education? Cartoon Network. Get good cartoon. You know, there are bad ones now teaching children. Get good ones that have lessons in it. Show them, you know, Bible, whatever. They think Noah and the Ark. You think that is it? They coming. Soon now we're going to be doing our Admas. We're going to be solving. Because this level is not of children. Dominion. You know, unto us a child is born. But here, it's a son that is given. And his own son that the Bible said, government shall be upon his shoulder. There are too many blind leaders. They can't see and they are leading people. And we have a big problem in the church. I have them as pastors. Until you help open up those eyes and envision them for the future, their stomach will always remain flat. They will give birth to nothing. You cannot give birth to what you have not been impregnated of. The visions of today are the realities of tomorrow. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. And the law of the Spirit states, it is as far as your eyes can see, I will give to you. That's what Abraham. If you can't see it, you can't possess it. And actually, I say it this way, nothing is yours
ability, you can see and understand it. Even if it's in your hand, it will leave your hand very soon and go to somebody that has understanding. Nothing is yours. If you can't see it, you can't possess it. One of our biggest problems now is here. Image. Yet, Romans chapter 8, you can project it for them, said that those he foreknew, he called, those he called, he justified, those he justified, he glorified. But he said first that God's purpose is that all of those people he justified will be conformed to the image of Christ, so that he can be the firstborn among what? Many. Anybody that guesses wrong at this level of the curriculum has got the whole thing wrong, because the foundation is not there to carry every other thing. Constructing God's image in the lives of people, children, church members, leaders, is the toughest and the most critical job in human capital development. And anybody that builds any training system needs to start here. Because now we have pastors out there, we have leaders, political leaders, we have business leaders out there that are morally bankrupt. This is where their problem is. Why did he say that they be conformed to the image of Christ? Because Jesus, when Adam messed up the program, who was made in the image of God, God sent a second Adam who conformed. And now that God got one man, another Adam, that is an express image of God Almighty, he now made him the standard. I hope you know how they do it in block molding companies. You first mold the molder, the block molder. If you want the blocks to be rectangular, you make the molder rectangular. If you want the blocks to be circular, you make the molder circular. So all you need to do is take raw material, put inside, shape it. It conforms it into that shape. That's what God has made Jesus as, the author and the finisher and the standard for every believer. And those that follow in his examples are the only people that are worthy to be followed. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't follow men because they are pulling crowds. Check the moral. Check the ethical foundation. Check the moral foundation. My brothers and sisters, and ladies and gentlemen, men and women of God, God is powerful. God is all wise. He has all wisdom. God Almighty is rich and very wealthy. He owns the whole earth, the whole galaxies, over 500 billion galaxies. All the silver and gold are his. He said it, silver and gold is mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But what separates God from the devil is not money. The devil also has money. He's the god of this world and he's still controlling a lot of billions. He doesn't have as much as God, but he has. The devil also has wisdom. The Bible even said he was wiser than Daniel. The devil also has power. He may not have over the ones that are saved, but he has over the unsaved. And if you ask me, out of the 7.5 billion people, who is controlling more people right now? He is the one. The whole Christian world, they say, is about 2.5 billion. So two-thirds is still under the control of the powers of that. The devil has power. He has influence. So what's the difference between him and Jesus? What's the difference between him and God? Do you just know a man of God that is a man of God because he has crowd, or because he has power, because he can do miracles? Miracle is not how you know who is a man of God or not. Jesus said, by their fruit. By their fruit. Not by their tongues. By their fruit. In these last days, with all the things happening, we better start teaching God's people again. By their fruits. You know, some of them even left church. They are singing. All kinds of group concert. Have you seen the kind of crusade they are organizing? If it's crowd that makes you. By their fruits, you shall know them. What is he talking about? Image. If they don't have the image of God, they are not like God. And they are not of God. Moses threw the rod, turned water to blood. The magicians did that. Yes, there is a place they got to because God is superior to Satan. He's not as rich as God. He's not as wise as God. He's not as powerful as God. But he has power and he can produce. That's why the last days is going to be characterized with lying signs. So where is the differentiating factor? Here is it. Though God is powerful and God is wise and God is rich, God is good. God is kind. God is merciful. God is compassionate. God is holy. God is righteous in all his ways. God is upright. God is a person that keeps his word. He's a person of integrity and is a covenant-keeping God. The devil can copy miracles. He can't copy divine nature. He can't copy God's character. He can't. Get down and look. You will see. Why God is compassionate and merciful. He is wicked and mean. Is it not God that came and died for us on the cross? The devil died for you. You know, God sent his son who has his image. He became a servant leader, took the form of a servant, went to the cross, gave his life for the world. The devil is about to send his son. He's the next thing on the horizon, the Antichrist. Die for you. He's going to kill millions of people. You don't care about human life. Look at what the Antichrist spirit is doing. He has revived beheading and all kinds of things on the earth. Where is the differentiating factor? Because we need it in this last hour. Is the image. You see, this is where the church has its fundamental assignment. Because no government can shape the heart. Education can help to shape the mind. Balanced education can equip people with professional skills. No government, no school, except it's somebody that's from the kingdom. That's why it is God's children that needs to go over and take over the educational sector. Because that's the industry for molding human beings. But primarily the church and the family. None of these institutions have the tools, the surgical equipment to go inside the heart and operate. Man is born fallen with the nature of Satan, born selfish, born with all these things in him. How do you take it out and bring the divine nature? You see why he starts by saying, you must be born what? Again. And then after they receive the rebirth of their human spirit, the next thing is to begin to disciple and nurture that spirit with the kind of resources that help produce Christ-like nature. Yes, he has received Christ, but the nature of Christ needs to now rise and dominate the man. It becomes the man's express image. It's his character. That's how he behaves. Everything about him. He's not trying to be any other thing. He's a person of integrity. He's humble. He's a person of moral excellence. He's a godly person. He's a compassionate person. Then we have laid the foundation for leadership and for dominion. If this kind of people, these are the kind of people, sisters, you are praying to be your husband. This is the kind of people, brothers, you want to marry. No matter how much beauty, how much money the person has, but he's a devil that has power. Because when politicians come, they want our vote. Finally, they get power, political dominion, or get economic dominion, or get intellectual dominion. It's a lecturer that is raping little kids. It's a very corrupt politician using citizens for rituals and stealing all our money that to build hospitals and stacking them somewhere abroad. Okay, he has got spiritual dominion. He's a pastor. He has large followership. But his human beings he's using to sustain the altar. Is a marine war that is married to. Is he having power that is the issue? I want to know, who is this man behind that power? Who is this man that has this money? Who is this man that is this governor? Is this president? Is he a compassionate person? Is he an upright person? Is he a just person? Then I know I'm under a godly leadership. Then my children are safe. I want to send my daughters, I have two girls, to go to church. Now, we are pastors, are busy little kids. So, to come here, pray, God, I want church growth, give me my city. Give you dominion for what? So you can abuse more people and ruin more lives. Mama Gio, so you can be first lady of the church, better life for politicians are doing their own in Abuja, you are doing your own inside the church. Yet what God is trying to do is raise a mother in Zion that will nurture his daughters, nurture his children for him. You can go. Thank you. God bless you guys. You've done a great job. You stood here. No. Okay. Let's tidy up. Exodus 33 verse 18. Okay, Moses said to the Lord, show me your glory. God said, do you know what you're asking? You want to see me? Nobody can see me and live. But he now told Moses, I will show you something. Guess the answer God told Moses. I will make all my goodness. Show it to them. I will make all my what? Goodness pass before you. Many years ago, I read this again because the only understanding I have about God's glory is Shekinah. When the glory cloud appear, light appear. The Lord said, first of all, Moses have been experiencing Shekinah for many years since he left Egypt. That's what made them. This is not what he's asking for. The man is on top of Mount Sinai and Mount Sinai is covered with fire and he's still asking, which other glory? So the Lord explained to me that he has two dimensions to his glory. There is manifest presence, the light, the rasbatas that people see. He said then he has the intrinsic glory, which is internal, which is actually what makes him God, his nature. He said, so when Moses asked me that he wants to see my glory, I have already shown him Shekinah, the children of Israel have seen, the whole mountain is on fire. I now revealed the other side to him. I said, I will make all my goodness. Everybody write these seven things now. If you want to know what God is like, these are things we need to build inside people at this class. Number one, write goodness. God is a good God. Just stand here. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Number two, write graciousness. God is large-hearted. That's what graciousness is. Part of it. A part of graciousness is generosity. If you're stingy, you don't look like God. You look like the other guy. If you're selfish, you don't look like your heavenly father. You look like the image is not his own. You're self-centered. That's what is killing marriage. That's what is killing ministries. One pastor, God has blessed him. He thinks all the resource of a church is for that church. No. There are fivefold now. We have apostles. We have prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So everybody, will everybody go and start church? So how will a Barrister Wampa survive? He's an apostle. How will a Professor Anborg survive? How will Pastor Victor survive? So we come here, we draw all of these resources. We don't know that we have a responsibility to give back. And our churches need to give back. You just come and draw and go. We go head to INT, draw. You know when they call God El Shaddai?
El Shaddai, part of it means one that is more than enough, but a part of the interpretation means the breasted ones. You go to your mother, she's young, pretty, flat tummy. She carries you, you spoil her tummy. Because after that, the tummy is not able to return without a lot of hard work again. After you spoil her tummy, you go to the breast that is standing. You suck it till it becomes flat. Then you become a teenager, your own stands. You start disobeying her. You look, call her old woman, look at you. Who made her war? She sacrificed everything to give you. So God said, honor your father and mother, that if you don't do it, your days will not be long, neither will you prosper on the earth. But it's the same thing he said to do to your spiritual parents or anybody that nurtures you. While you are sucking resources, Paul said, after we're giving you spiritual things, are you not supposed to honor us back with material things? Ministries are to do it. Dominion City supports 9 different ministries. 9. Every year. They don't need to come and ask us. They don't need to beg us. And then, okay. God is gracious. So he said, I'll be, you've gone off, please. I'm in Exodus 33. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and then I'll be merciful to whom I will be. The third one is merciful. You know, you can put dash, it means compassion. Then he said to Moses, no one can see me and live. If you see me, you have to join me in heaven. Nobody in the flesh. So I will do something. I'll hide you before the cliff of a rock. I'll cover you with my hand, and I'll pass by. I'll remove my hand so you can see my back. Oh my God, God allowed a human being to see his back. Because this man is crying after something that our generation is no more crying after. The whole church is talking about breakthrough, give me car. Nobody's talking about make me like you. I want to be like Jesus. If we can restore some of this prayer that the old timer used to pray, we will restore Christianity in this country. We have filled it with another thing. You know the way they have all this food that they taste very well, but will kill you halfway. Junk food. That's how we have filled the church pulpit with junk food now. Nobody cries that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. You see, the money and all this dominion and all this power is later. Is to be given to somebody who has been grounded, who has been morally developed, who has been intellectually developed, who has skills to deploy and solve problems, then you can give him entrusting with power or leadership or wealth. If he finds a shortcut here, you have created another monster, another problem. So God finally came down in chapter 34 and in verse 5. He said, and the Lord descended and stood with him there. And then he proclaimed the name of the Lord. Let's see the revelation he gave Moses. Look at it. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. So, number one is what? Merciful. Haven't I given you that already? God is revealing his nature to Moses. He said, you want to see my glory? This is my glory. My glory is that I'm merciful. My glory is more than light that shine and people are falling. Or maybe when they say, people fall, it's a glory of God came to church. No. If he leaves transformational impact on lives, I'll know it's God. If he's just breaking chair and waking up, they still go to light to steal, committing adultery, forget about that. Any genuine revival must have moral and moral influence. If he doesn't change behavior, it's fake. Revival is not falling and rising. Ask them about revival of the 70s and all the other genuine revival. You see what? It must change people's behavior and how they live. Okay. And the Lord passed by. The first thing he revealed, the Lord God merciful. What's the second one? The Lord God what? Gracious. Haven't I given you these two already? The third one, long suffering. But you know, I've given you 3 already. So this should be the number 4. Everyone say long suffering. Patience. He doesn't get angry easily. If God doesn't have long suffering, you know how many times we have destroyed this earth? Number 5 now. Abundant in goodness. Haven't I given you goodness before? So you have already covered that. Let's go to the next one. Abundant in truth. Do you know what that means? It's not just honesty. It's integrity. Write it down. It's honest. It can't lie. It's a person of impeccable integrity. You want to build real Christians? Here is the colloquial. Next verse, keeping mercy for thousands. Do you know what that means? A covenant-keeping God. Write it down. Pastor Victor, you have Joshua. I have Joshua in my house. I understood something. He has helped to help me to be secured in God. When a man walks with God, see what you're doing. See all these sacrifices. It's an investment. It's like going to Microsoft and buying shares for your children. Because what he said here is that he doesn't just keep covenant for one generation. He keeps for 1,000 generations. Your descendants, Abraham's children, after more than 4,000 years, the Jewish people are still ruling every sphere of life. Why? God even keeps covenant with dead people. He told Moses, go and set my people free. He said, when you get there, tell them who I am. He said, what is your name? He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thought they were dead. He said, no, those men are alive unto me. When God, you and God have a deal, the way he even shows it, he has a level of blessing he gives you while you are alive. But the truth is that he is going to take care of Joshua and Joshua's children and their grandchildren. Because of all this, as a man is for your area, the man is a catechist. So far, they didn't have much, but he was faithful. He served God. The Nelema family. But Capital Alliance in Lagos that have brought, if I tell you the kind of businesses, even now, he's in government. That young man, he said, it's not me. God is rewarding him for his fathers. Sometimes when Solomon misbehaved, God flogged. He did certain things. He said, but for the sake of David, my servant. But some things that will happen, he will tell the children of Israel, because Abraham obeyed me. You are buying shares in the highest and most faithful and enduring enterprise that exists. It's called the kingdom of God. Things, there is no inflation. There, nothing goes down in value. And you will not finish reaping what you invest in the service of God. That has helped me to now become reckless in faith. When God tells me to do something, I now have a backup in my mind. I can't do it. I don't, but I used to question, I used to argue a lot. No, because sacrifice is a painful thing. Don't think Jesus was laughing on the cross. But if you build people, there are 5 levels. The first level is bringing them from the kingdom of darkness into soul winning. That's first level. Deliverance. That bring them out of Egypt. Second level is grow them into the image and likeness, discipleship. Third level is develop their ministries. Okay, each of these people have a purpose and a calling. Help them find it and develop it. And you have reached third level. Fourth level, grow people that can influence their world. That's where Prof comes. National transformation. Fourth. So at that moment, you have raised kings. When you develop them to be ministers, you have raised priests. So I started walking, and I said, Lord, we are growing people who will change the world. Then one day, Samida, he said, no. The highest level of leadership, the highest level of dominion is not being marketplace king or political king or economic king. Neither is he being a priest, a powerful man of God. I said, there's nothing else now after this level. He said, no, there is one level. He said, the highest level of dominion is death. I said, what? He said, death to self.
there is a phase after death that nobody will reach till you go through the cross. Jesus would not have reached it if he stopped with just miracles and shaking Jerusalem. You know, if you grow a minister like Jesus who shakes his city, you feel that you have arrived. There's a level after that public ministry. After all that, you have all the money, you are president. This is where you raise deliverers. Deliverers are people who can give their life for the redemption of others. What is required there is self-sacrifice. And the Lord said to me, at that level, many people can't go further. If you know what makes a Moses, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. When Moses come to age, he refused. He gave up his life. Even the fact that he was prince of Egypt, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughters. What did you give up your life for? To exchange with the suffering and the infirmities of God's people. Why? Because he counted the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the pleasures of sin in Egypt. All the wealth of Egypt, all the gold, all the political influence. Moses saw something that is more valuable than that. He said, why did he do it? He said, by faith, he endured the wrath of Pharaoh and led the people into Exodus. Why? How can you risk being killed? Pharaoh could have killed you during those times you were doing it. Pharaoh could have massacred them at the Sea of Galilee. He said he endured all that because he has respect unto the recompense of reward. We have not raised people that can reach this fifth level. Level five leadership is not learning a few leadership skills. There isn't a people that can give their life. It might be their comfort. It might be all their earnings. It's called incarnational leadership. You know what is incarnational leadership? A prince that lives in glory. He was his father's only son. His name is Jesus. He was the jewel of heaven. Abandon all his glory to come to identify with fallen man in our poverty, in our sin, in our mess. And took the form of a servant, led his life and gave his life on the cross for us. That's how he has redeemed a generation of people, a holy nation, and made us unto our God, kings and priests. This type of leaders now grow leaders to their capacity. They are not afraid or to let go. No. They are no more trying to protect self or protect, no. Because a corn of wheat, if it does not fall to the ground and die, remains alone. There is a point of intersection where self is canceled. And God will push you and push you and make demand and make demand. It gets to that point. It's no more I that lives. It's no more my will. I'm no more seeking fame. I'm no more seeking ambition. I'm not trying to be noticed. I don't want to have the biggest church. I don't want to have the biggest anything. I want his will done irrespective of what it costs. Irrespective of what it costs. God told me, he said, all I'm looking for is somebody that will fear me, somebody that will believe me, and somebody that will obey me. He said, all the things you think are difficult on earth, I can do it if I can find a man that will believe me and that will obey me. He said, that's what I found in Abraham. When I took him to Golgotha, to Mount Moriah, to put Isaac on the ground, that's what we are testing, whether this man can give up self. Because let me tell you, friends, it's even easier at 100 for Abraham to lay on that altar than to kill Isaac. He has already lived his life. Yeah, God said sacrifices, it would have been easier. 100-year-old man, what else is left? But kill the future. The only thing you have, put him on the altar. And then you tell me to use my own knife, my own hands, to slay him. I thought you promised me Israel. I thought you said I'll be father of many nations. And I waited for 25 years. I waited for all 25 years. What are you doing, God? It's not Isaac God wants to kill. It's Abraham. It's self.
when he gets you through the cross, that's where God reveals things. I'm on the journey. I'm on the journey since I joined the school. I've learned things I have not learned in all my years of preaching, in all my years. I rushed into ministry. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be on all. Now I've learned. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to explain this. Help me, Lord. Okay, please, let me end that place. Please, that Exodus 34, is the last place I read, said, that's not where I stopped. Which verse was that? Verse 10, please. Keeping covenant, yes, yes. Keeping covenant, keeping mercy for 1,000 generations. Please, get us there. Yes, the next character of God is forgiving iniquity. Forgiveness. And sin and transgressions, he forgives them. God doesn't keep malice. If we don't learn to walk in love and practice forgiveness, we have not learned Christians. If God keeps record of wrongs and keeps, who will stand? And the last thing I'll point out today is the next line. He said that we by no means clear the guilt, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation. You know what that means? God is a just God. He's an upright person. I know that God is love. We didn't put that now. If we go further and study other parts, you will see it. I know that God is love, but God is just. And it is that justice side that created hell. The grace boys are running around now talking about love, love. God is love, God is. They are telling people the one side of the truth. He said the law came by Moses, grace came by Jesus Christ. That's not what the Bible said. John 1:17 said, the law came by Moses, grace and truth. They removed the truth. They're only preaching grace. They don't tell people that hell is real. They don't tell people that there will be a door of accountability. They don't tell people that the same God of love. I said to the Lord, how can you be love and be? He said, don't you know electricity? Electricity is a very good guy. He powers, he gives you light. He helps your fridge to work. He's so important that everybody needs it. But yet, if you get familiar with it and go to touch it, ask some Nepa people why they are climbing the pole. They are burnt to charcoal. My grandmother said it to me, that God is like Everest Mountain. The more you climb him, the more you should fear him. Because people have fallen and they are dead. I said to the Lord, I don't understand. How can you be the two things at the same time? He said, I'm like fire. I can cook food for you. I can warm you. I can do all that. But if you take me for granted and start playing with it. So that's why Hebrews said we should serve God with fear and godly, with trembling and fear. Fear and trembling, knowing that our God is what? A consuming fire. And he left a warning, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. God has standards. And what I've watched that he does is, if you start misbehaving, he has 5 levels of remedial judgment, the justice of God. He will warn you at first level, private. He won't tell any other person. He will use the Holy Spirit. He will send a message, his word, to deal with you. If you repent and correct the thing, he ends there. If you ignore it, after the Holy Spirit has been warning and the word of God has been talking to you, you're not listening, God will move to second level. He will talk to 1 or 2 or 3 people.
you will expose it, but still within the level that you are protected. People that know you, people that, and they will come to you. Brother, the Lord woke me in the night. Oh, this one, I observe what is going on. Do something about this thing. After that, you don't listen. God will step the justice system up. He will turn around, upside down, circumstances. It might be your health, it might be different things. It might be your finances, it might be ministry. Things will start going haywire. He's still trying to correct because he's remedia. Remedia is corrective judgment. He's not trying to destroy. He's trying to get you back online. After that, you don't listen. You know the fourth thing God does all through your Bible? He will hand you to the heathen. When God has used all the different methods to correct you, you're not listening. He will take your case to the unsaved. Anytime you hear that he called the Philistines to deal with the children of Israel, or he handed them over, you know the book of Judges, the different, or you hear that Babylonians came. God has sent prophets, he has tried and tried there, and only sometimes they kill. He called the hidden, and the hidden are merciless. You don't know that the world hates us. When they gave David opportunity to be handed over three things, and one of them to be handed over to his enemies, what did he say? He said, no, Lord, let me fall into your hand. Human beings are wicked. And after that fourth level, you don't listen. Then the last thing is he hands you over to Satan. He withdraws your protection completely. And the enemy will come and destroy. That's when the temple was destroyed. If you go and check the destruction of Jerusalem, it happened in three stages. Under the first king, they carried some things, left the temple, left them. Nothing. The second king came, continued in evil, idolatry. Nebuchadnezzar came again, this time did some destruction, but left the temple, carried some more things. They didn't repent the third time. He burned the temple, massacred the priests, and that's where he took Daniel and the rest of them to Egypt. Three different layers. He said, hand him over to Satan for the destruction of the body, that the spirit may be saved on the Lord's day. He said, if anyone defies the temple, God will destroy him. But he doesn't do it immediately because he graduated, because he is love. He is slow to judging because he wants to save. And then sometimes people now take it for granted. God bless you. Please bow down your heads. Let's pray.